Does anybody here love the Lord? I said, does anybody here love the Lord? Let's stand to our feet and give him some glory, amen. Let's honor God, amen, for he is the only God. He is the mighty God. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He's that was and what is and yet to come. Give him the glory and the honor that he's due. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can be seated in the presence of God, amen. It's time that we get excited about God, amen. And before I get into the word, I just, when Nancy, she brought it up about the downsizing. Our house was a three-story home, and we're getting up into the age, amen. You know, we're into a, amen. But three floors, the steps were getting to us, you know, and so we decided, our boys have all the family, they moved out and they got their own families, and we said, well, we're going to downsize. And so we had got our house on the market, and I was standing in the pulpit talking about downsizing, and we sold our house. We tried to sell it three times, and something would happen, fall through. One time, we got our way to the closing, and the guy was supposed to have this paperwork for his VA, told us he had it, but he didn't have it. I was ready to quit. This is it. We're just going to stay. And my blessed wife, who's a warrior, says, no! We're going to stay and we're going to fight. And so, we put money down on houses that we thought we liked. But God did not have that in store for us. And it just kept falling through. And so, our house, we got another contract on it, and it was going down to the wire. This one house was in a country club that we said, well, we'll just go ahead and make an offer on it. They accepted it, and I'm sitting here thinking, you know, it's going to fall through again. It's going to fall through again. So I was in bed, sleep, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, God woke me up. And y'all got to hear this, because this is important for us to understand. When I was sleeping, I said, get up, and so I got up, said, go pray. So I went up to my upper room, and I'm sitting up there praying, and I'm just praying about everything, just kind of waiting on God. And all of a sudden, he spoke to me. He said, Michael, you don't understand my migration. And I said, what? He said, you don't understand my migration. He said, I do not downsize my people. He says, I always move you from a lesser to a greater. And he said, you have been sitting here and speaking this in your church, and it's affected your people. He said, and your leadership, I want you to apologize to them. So I immediately got out my laptop and started sending out a letter to my leadership, apologized to them. That Sunday morning, I was got up before the church and apologized to them. God says, I never move you from a lesser to a greater. In Jeremiah 8, he says, the storks and know the sign times of their migrations, the turtle doves, and they know the time, but my people do not know the seasons of my migration. And he said that this is what I do. I always move them from a lesser source to a greater source. When I migrate my birds, I move them from a lesser source to a greater source. He said, when I move my people, I always will move you from a lesser source to a greater source. Amen. And so with my mouth, the things that I spoke was holding me back from what God wanted to do. He wanted to increase us, not to decrease us. Now the house is not as large, but it's a better built house. It's in a better neighborhood. It's just wonderful. It was everything our heart desired. Always wanted a three-car garage. I got a three-car garage. And God gave me things that I didn't even ask for that he knew was in my heart. So you must remember, amen, that it's our mouths that causes us to be blessed or be cursed. It's the things that come out of our mouths. Amen? And when I got the word last year about Psalms 119:42 that Nancy asked me to speak on. It says, so shall I have an answer for every reproach, or for an answer for him who reproaches me, that I would trust, for I trust in the Lord. Have an answer for everyone that reproaches you. It had to do with the mouth, and I didn't really understand. And to now, when I'm coming here, God began to speak to me about some things. So what I'm going to be talking to you is more prophetic than it is a teaching. It's what God is doing on the earth today. Amen? See, what's happening, we're moving out of one decade into another. We're coming out of, according to the Hebrew calendar, out of 5779 to 5780. We've been in a decade from 5770 to 5779. September the 30th would be Rosh Hashanah, would be the new Israel's new year. Amen? And in the Hebrew, the numbers and letters all correspond and have a meaning. And the 70, the decade of the 70s had to do with seeing. How many have been in transitions? How many have been through hell and back? Amen. I told Michelle, I said, our next move is to our mansion. Amen. And let me tell you, probably going to be soon. Praise God. But it was a time of seeing. Everything that we have gone through, everything is happening, is for us to see and begin to understand. Israel had no problem, the sons of Issachar, understanding the seasons and the signs of times. Amen? The sons of Issachar understood what Israel had to do. But my people don't know the times of their migration. How many have been complaining about the government? Let me tell you, it's a distraction. God is moving in the earth today. I said God is moving. And we're looking at what the enemy is throwing up at us, and we're lost our focus because we don't understand the times and season. The weed and the tare has grown to maturity. It is a battle in the heavens between the Antichrist and the Christ, what's going on in the earth today. And God is wanting to raise up in this earth today a people, a remnant, a people of God that will speak the things of God in the time and the season he's called. Amen. It tells us that God has said, now you fear the Lord, he who gives the former rain and the latter rain together, that he has reserved for you. Appointed weeks of harvest. There's a season that is coming on the earth that God has reserved for us. And they're called the weeks of harvest. I didn't say week of harvest. I said weeks of harvest. He says, I reserved it for you. If he reserved it for you, then it is a reservation. Y'all ain't hear me, it's a reservation. Amen? A reservation doesn't do you any good if you don't check in. See, God is calling for his church to check in. And now that we've been through this last 10 years, this last 10 years has been so tough. It's been a hard time for us. I know it's been a hard time for you. We came to a season in our lives that God has just moved us, picked us up. But it was part of the vision. My sons have taken over our church. In October, God spoke to me, said, look behind you. And so I looked behind me, and he said, what do you see? I said, I see a river. And I said, yes. He said, Michael, it is the Jordan. He says, now I'm moving in into promise. What I asked you to do for the last 20 years of pastoring the church, that season's over. You did what I asked you to do. You did a good job. And I thought I was a failure. And he said, I'm raising up your sons. And we've been waiting for our sons to step in. We're not going to tell them. We're going to wait on them. And my younger son now, he is my senior pastor. Amen. I am submitted to the authority of my youngest son. Y'all are here. Me and my wife have submitted ourselves to the authority of our son. Yet I am his overseer. Yet I'm submitted to him. You know what makes Nancy Haney such a great leader? She has an apostolic anointing. Many apostles today are looking for their position above. Nancy's position as a true apostle is on the it's a foundational gift. It is a gift that supports and lifts up and brings the people into their giftings. Amen. When she comes and tells you to get up here and speak, she is pushing you into the place that you have to be. See, the problem in the church today is that the fathers, the silver-haired men, stop dreaming. When the old man stops dreaming, the young men don't have vision. Amen. And so the old men are coming back. The fathers are coming back to the house of God. Amen. And they're coming back with dreams. Amen, that they'll see their sons begin to step in their position. The apostolic of God is getting ready to break forth on the earth like we've never seen it. And it's going to come through the speaking of the mouth. And we're going to get to that. But I'm going to walk away. Let me get back. Amen. This thing, and my other son, he's the associate. He's the worship leader. And they came up to me, Mark came up to me and said, Dad, he said, I want to change the name of the church. Are you all right with that? I said, yeah, I'm okay with that. I said, why do you want to change it? He said, it's been prophesied to me. He said, I was at up in North Carolina. He was at a meeting up there. A prophet said, prophesied over him that you are a forerunner. Rick Joyner told him he was a forerunner and said, God is moving you into that place of being a forerunner. And so he named the church the Forerunner City Church after his anointing. But you know, the anointing was on me that was prophesied over me was the spirit of Elijah, which was a forerunner. Amen. And I always told the Lord I didn't want to be a prophet. And you know, I like just being Michael. You know, and God had anointed me to be an apostle. And now I'm able to operate in that. That was 10 years earlier that he anointed me by a man who was anointed by Smith Wigglesworth that came to me and said, I anointed you. You're going to be an apostle in my kingdom. And I didn't understand what an apostle was, and I was seeing all these apostles standing in this place of authority over top of people and pressing the church down and causing them to suffocate. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be one of those. He said, those are not mine. He says, the fivefold ministry gifts are foundational gifts. They don't rule over people. You know, they don't cause you to sit in high places. Those that are called into these places that God has called him to are going to be places of trials, as Les was talking about. There'll be times of testing. There'll be brokenness. There'll be a broken hearts in men. It's not a place of glory, but it's a place of brokenness that God wants to bring you to, that you will be able to lift others. Amen. Every apostle went through something in his life that he was able to share and bring it to others. Every one of you are leaders. Every one of you in here are leaders. Well, I don't know, let me tell you, you're a leader. And God's anointing you and appointing you as leaders. When God calls you, when you ask Jesus into your heart, the Spirit of God comes in you and you become a leader. A leader of all humanity. You need a leader to the earth, to creation,
to take dominion and take authority. But we don't do that because we don't know our season and our times. Now, these 10 years we just went through, you know, and the times were hard. And how many of you got through your troubles, you saw something? God turned them for your good. Amen? He turned them for your good. You have something in you right now. When we're going into 5780, the word 80 is pi, P-E-Y. Amen? And it means a mouth. It's a symbol of a mouth. And it says this season will be the season of the widening of the mouth. The things that we saw are now going to become the things that we're going to speak. Y'all want to hear me? The things that you have gone through, the things that you have won your victory on, now is the time that you're going to speak. To those that have spoke out, they're standing in the White House, standing and running for office and holding up the Bible. I don't know if you all saw it, but there was a politician. It was a woman, and she said, you Christians are going to have to change the way you think. How do you answer that? Christians, you're going to have to marry Sue and Betty. Christians, you're going to have to change the way you think. I told my brother, now you got to hear this, and I believe it too. I said, before I do that, before I violate the word of God, I will go into slavery. Let me tell you, I don't know why I'm going to get into this, but the world is using a word, and we're going to have to learn how to stand and begin to speak the word of God in the midst of the time with the love and the grace of God. And I'm going to show you how to do it here in a minute. But when they sit there and talk about your God, tell you that he's not real, tell you you're stupid. We had a friend in the church we was at, and her brother, he was a character, but she come and told me that I told him this and taking the word, and she was beating him up with the word of God. She was just and felt good about it. Amen. The young man was still in the same position he was. Amen? But see, that there's a wisdom that God wants us to have. Amen? This season that God is moving us into is the widening of our mouths. It's something that's in us that God's wanting to come out of us. How many ever felt really good when somebody talked really bad about you? What do you want to do when someone speaks out evil against you? I'll tell you what comes on me. It's spiritual. It's called the spirit slap. I'm just transparent, you know. I know y'all not that way. Sometimes people say things to you, you just want to reach up and slap them. This was David was talking about. This is what he was talking about. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me. See, when Goliath reproached David, he didn't reproach David, he reproached Israel. He reproached the God of Israel. He said, how dare you? to speak about the God of Israel. Amen? Let me tell you, when they begin to talk about you, they're not talking about you. They're talking about the Christ that's in you. Amen? There's a Christ in you that the devil can't stand. Amen? And that's what they're coming after. The devil is coming after the Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Why is it the hope of glory? The hope of glory is not for you. The hope of glory is for someone else. If he can get you fighting against the flesh and blood and not the powers and the principalities, your hope of the glory is nothing. Amen? You know, we had people talking about the police are doing this and the police are doing that. But let me tell you, it's not the police. It's the powers and the principalities. It's the spirit of the Antichrist and the Christ. We're moving into the season, getting ready for the setting up of Israel, the temple, amen, for the spirit of the Antichrist to come and take up his place. We're in the last days. Don't you understand the seasons and the times? We can no longer be, like Michelle says, sitting in the closets. I know I'm loud, but my rubber band is tight. Amen. Let me tell you, there's one thing to be saved, and it's another thing to be filled with the Spirit. One gets you to heaven, the other gets heaven into you. God did not save us to go to heaven, which we will go, but God saved us to put his Spirit in us. Amen? Why would God put his Spirit in us? Well, there was a first Adam. God gave him assignment to take over and take dominion of the earth. Amen? But he failed, and God had to send a last Adam. Some people call him the second Adam, but he's the last Adam. There's not going to be another one. He's the only true God. His name is Jehovah. Amen? His name is Yeshua. He's our Messiah. Amen? He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He came to do what the first Adam didn't do. Amen. He came to take dominion of the earth once again. And then he had to come in the flesh. And then he had to reproduce himself in the earth. Amen. To change us to have the same nature as Adam. Not the first Adam, but the second Adam and the last Adam. That we would be like Christ. And how many of you love the 9 manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit? How many really desire them? See, I'll tell you what I desire. I desire the 7 spirits of God. Amen? See, we've been after the gifts and the powers of gifts, but it tells us in Isaiah 11, 2, that the 7 spirits of God came up on the Christ. Upon the Messiah and rested upon him. When Jesus walked the earth, he walked out of the 7 spirits, the same 7 spirits that you find in Revelation, what Nancy was talking about, the candles, the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, and the spirit of might, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Amen? And those came upon Christ, and he did his wonders, not by the gifts of the Spirit, but by the nature of God that was in him. Amen? And see, what God is wanting us to understand as we're going this last season, is not that we need the gifts of the Spirit, we need the nature of God. Y'all look at him. Do you know that you can have the nature of God in you? The Bible says that you are complete in him. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in you. What does he mean by it's in Colossians chapter 2. It says, what does he mean by the fullness of the Godhead dwells in you? What is the Godhead? the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in them dwells the seven spirits of God. Amen? We say that upon Jesus, but Jesus went to bring it upon us. It was the power and authority that he operated under. The nine manifestation of gifts works under the powers of the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God are, they said in the throne room, they're fire. Amen? There's seven spirits of fire, what I call them. Seven spirits of fire that's burning in the bellies of men. He said, out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water. He was talking about the fire of God wanting to come up out of you. Amen? Hallelujah. There's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to be filled with the Holy Spirit. One gets you to heaven. One gets the heaven into you. Amen? And see, most of us Pentecostals and charismatic, we want the Holy Ghost where we can speak in tongues, where we can get a woohoo, glory to God. But the Bible tells us that he will send us the Holy Spirit to make us witnesses. Amen? A witness has to be someone who what? Speaks. Amen? And we're going into a new season, the 80, of the widening of the mouth is the speaking that we have to get outside of the walls of the church and begin to speak what God has put in our hearts. How many have been in church waiting on the sinner to come into the church and get him get saved? Lord, bring him in from the north. Lord, bring him in from the south. Lord, bring him in from the east. Lord, bring him in from the west. And the Lord is saying in heaven, the Spirit of heaven coming up on man. He said, go to the north. Go to the south. Go to the west. Go to the east. And pull and bring him in. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You are leaders. Leaders go out. Leaders are ones that will go do something. They're not ones that will sit on their... That's what's been happening to the church. We've been wanting our cars, boats, planes, and trains. We want our money. We want our gifts. We want our blessing. But God wants his people. He wants humanity. There's an ocean of humanity. I don't know if you ever heard the story about the people that were in this. It was an ocean of humanity. And there was a big ship. And it was go out to rescue the people. And there were people in the boats. The ship would go and get the ones in the boat and bring them back to the boats. But yet the ones who are in the water, they let them stay. This is what's happening to the church. Our church growth is from going from one church and getting them and bringing them into another church. And we call it growth. We need to see people get saved. Amen. We need to see the glory of God come. God is widening our mouths that we will speak. Amen. You don't need to keep speaking to your brother. He don't need here anymore. You need to go speak to someone that don't know Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to get down there, like you said, to those that don't know him. You got me so stirred today, I can't hardly take care of myself. You don't know. You said some things to me that got me fired up. This man here is a man of God. He is a man of God. The man has a heart to reach those that are not like him. Amen? You know, we don't fellowship with sin, but we fellowship with humanity. Amen? Amen? Praise God. We don't accept sin. Sin has to be sin, what it is. If God hates sin, then I hate sin. And there's no difference between one sin and another. All sin is sin. Amen? One will send you to hell just as quick as another will. Amen? And we try to judge people by their sin. God did not judge me by my sin. He judged me by my heart. Amen? And saw that what's in me. He had the eyes to see. Amen? And God is wanting to give us the eyes to see. See people for who they are, not because of their sin. Am I making any sense? Am I just up here blowing wind? Come on now. Come on. Somebody give God some praise. Amen. He is the Lord that's changing our lives. He's changing the nation. Amen. He's putting a word in our mouths. Yes, these walls here are breathing. Amen. They're breathing the Spirit of God. I don't know if you see it or you feel it, but something's happening in a kitchen can. The winds of God are blowing. You got the 100-mile-per-hour wind, but to the 100-mile-per-hour winds of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's coming. I'm sorry, my rubber band's tight. I can't get it. This is my season. This is my time. God has called me for this hour. He's called me for you. Amen. He called me to this place. Me and my wife just didn't come up here to have a good time. We came up here to have a good time in the Lord with our friends. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. And let you know that God is getting ready to break out in Ketchikan. Woo, glory to God, amen. It's a season that God has prepared for you, amen. This is going to be a 10 years, amen, of God's glory and grace, amen, because we're going to speak it. Now, let me find this scripture in Matthew in the Amplified, because you got to hear it, amen, because this is what it's all about. This is how God is going to use you to speak. How many of you want to know how God's going to use you to speak? Does God make things hard for you? When God calls you, does he equip you to do what he called you to do? Well, he's putting the seven spirits in us. Now, this is what the seven spirits are going to do. You want to hear what they want to do? No, you don't. You don't want to hear what. Do you really want to hear what they're going to do? All right, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 38 and 30, because the first 10 years is what we are. Are you tired? Matthew 11, 28 and 30. This is in the, not the Amplified, this is in the Message Bible, I'm sorry. It says, are you tired? Can anybody answer me? Are you worn out? Burn out on religion. Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. And I will show you how to take a real rest. What I meant talking about is a rest. But you're going to be working. But when you're working for God, it is a rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Amen. How many of you can watch how God does it? All right. He says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That's our answer. The unforced rhythms of grace. Unforced rhythms of grace. Nothing that you do just calls it to go because nothing can stop it. Nothing, no force can hold it. Amen. It's unforced rhythms of grace that's in you because of the Holy Spirit that's in us. He has put in us the unforced rhythms of grace. When you speak to somebody, say, Lord, let this unforced rhythms of grace come up out of me. The Bible says our words should be seasoned with salt, that we would have an answer for every man. Amen. The answer for every man comes from the unforced rhythms of grace. And I won't lay any heavy or ill fittings on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn how to live freely and lightly. Woo! Glory to God. I've been having, I, for 40 years I had a hard time living lightly. Amen. I've been trying to do it all myself. I am 73 now. And God has put in my heart a desire for the young generation to see them begin to move in this unforced rhythm of grace. To see them move. See, people are talking about the millennials. The millennials are not doing this. The millennials are doing that. They're not doing that. Let me tell you, they're the ones that God is going to get. Amen. Because God is going to put an unforced rhythm of grace in the widening of the mouth of the saints for the things that we have gone through the hell that we've gone through. It's going to be a words of grace and mercy that's going to change their lives. Amen. That's what I'm living for now. I have nothing else to live for but to see a new generation. That's why I tell my son, I said, Mark, tell him all the time, hey, you're my senior pastor. He looks at me and says, I said, son, I'm submitted to your authority. And I had to clean my office out. It's now his office. My grandson says, Poppy, let's go to your office. I said, Isaiah, it's your daddy's office now. And he texted me while I was up here, and he was looking to the key to the storage area. And so I texted him and told him where it was and the code to get in there. He never did text me back, so I call him. I said, you get my message? He said, yeah, Dad. I said, oh, son, forgive me for trying to be a daddy. I need to be your servant. Bye. You know, but sometimes it's hard to make that break, amen. But, you know, we got to be able to help our next generation. We got to quit talking about how bad they are. Amen. We got to begin to stop talking about how bad our senators are, and they are. Amen. We need to begin to, you know, the words that we speak will become the words that we reap. Now, y'all don't get mad at me. Y'all don't get mad at me? You promise not to get mad at me? How many talked so bad about the last administration and said such evil things about them? And now you're upset because they're saying the same thing about our president. Come on now. We have reaped what we sow. God said we are to love our enemies. Bless those that persecute us. Amen. Speak highly of those. Amen. Amen. But we spoke evil against them. I didn't like what they did. I spoke evil against them. I said, no way. I'm going to go to jail for them make me do that. Who those people, crazy people, think they are? The spirit of slap was coming. Amen. And now the spirit of slap has come back. Come on now. This decade that we're going into is going to be a decade of our mouths. The most problems we have is not the devil. Like I said earlier, that he'd been defeated. I mean, they cut his feet off. He can't be all the places you think he is. He can't walk unless you put him in the wheelchair and take him. And that's normally what happens, amen. It's not the devil's causing the problem. The problems are, most of the time, it's what we speak out of our mouths. Now, that's a hard word, but it's a word for the season. Amen. We got to begin to work it with our words, our prayers, intercessors. Going to have to be the prayers of what the sons of Issachar saw. They saw what Israel needed to do. The intercessors, you got to have the spirit of Issachar upon you to see what America needs to do. You got to see what the church needs to do. And you need to pray the things that the church needs to do. We need to know the signs and the times of our season. We're coming out of the migration, moving from a lesser source to a greater source. God is getting ready to move us from a lesser source to a greater source. Hallelujah. He's moving the church from a lesser position to a greater position. We are the ones that are going to change the world. That's why the devil's fighting so hard, because the only one that can change the world is you and me. Not who's sitting in the office. It's you and me. Who sits in the office is according to how we speak with our mouths. Amen? Let me tell you, there's not one politician that's going to change the sin in the world. There's not one politician can change sin in the world. Only Jesus can heal and deliver from sin. Just think, if we've been out there working the fields, speaking the words of grace and getting people saved and teaching the truth and speaking the truth. I mean, speaking the truth, not compromising and loving people and bringing them in, who would be the majority? Amen? See, but now, this is not your problem, but my problem. No, I run my mouth and don't do what I'm supposed to do. You know, we all have fun, you know, and so we just need to lighten up. I hear the Spirit say, just lighten up. Lighten up. He said, I want to make it easy. I want to put in you an unforced rhythms of grace. Amen? The grace of God in you and me. Amen? Now, grace, what I'm talking about, is not the grace that overlooks sin. Mercy overlooks sin. But grace is the power of God in us to overcome sin. Y'all hear me? It's not that we overlook it. It's the power in us to overcome. The unforced rhythms of grace is the power in us to overcome the sins of this world. We're going to finish with this here. And I didn't even get into my notes. I didn't teach what I taught the last time. I just feel a burning of the prophetic in me right now. Amen. And I got this, these two guys are a good friend of mine, is Von Clark, he's a prophet, and John, what's brother John and Helen's last name? Jenkins. And they're prophets, he sent me this, John did, and he said he got it from Von. And if you ever get around Von, you won't be there long before he done read your mail. Amen. You'd have a room of 1,000 people who have prophesied, all 1,000 of them. He's a wild man. But they sent me this, and it's called Remaining Upright in an Upside Down World. Now I'm going to read this to you, and I got a copy here. I think I got enough for everybody. But number one, it says, our reverence and value to this needy world in which we live is not based on our affluence, prosperity, or self-accomplishment, but rather on my willingness and ability to reveal Jesus in the kingdom of God to them. Number two, I must show the love of Christ without lowering my standards and love the world without loving worldliness. Number three, I am to go where the unredeemed people are, but only to be led by the Holy Spirit, not because of certain lifestyles, the lure of temptation, or the need to fit in and to be cool. Number four, I must learn to live holy without being religious, sanctimonious, or judgmental. Number five,
I must be graceful and gracious without facilitating sin and rebellion against God. Number six, I must fervently pray for the needy and for the sinners without prying without prying on them with religious piety and condemnation. Praying on them with religious piety and condemnation. Number seven, I must always be forgiving and yet not forgive that my forgiveness does not, let me read again. I must always be forgiving and yet not forget that my forgiveness does not wash or cleanse others from their sin. Number seven, I must always be forgiving and yet not forget that, number eight, I'm coming down. I must walk in the straight and narrow without being narrow-minded. Amen. Number nine, I must be willing to serve in an ungodly system without bowing my knee to the God of that system. Number 10, I must merely claim the divine promises of God for myself without recognizing and yielding to the divine claims that Jesus Christ has on me. Number 11, I must not allow my quest or balance to take away the cutting edge of the anointing of the Holy Spirit power. Number 12, I must always desire God's holiness to have total priority over my happiness. And the last one, number 13, I must always seek to know the Heavenly Father's heart. I must always seek to know the Heavenly Father's heart. Intercessors, all of your intercessors, knowing the seasons and the time is only coming when we seek the Father's heart. And who He is with a greater intensity than merely desiring to see His hand or what He can do. Amen. Now, when I read this, and it just blew me away, amen. And what we need for this season David says, so I shall have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. Let me tell you about the appointed seasons of the appointed weeks of harvest. A good example was Joseph. Joseph, as a little boy, God began to speak to him. And because God was speaking to him and God was in his life, he was hated by his brothers. They reproached him, but yet he held on to his dream. And we know the story. His brothers put him in the pit. Then they took him out of the pit and sold him into slavery. We know then he went to Potiphar's house, and there at Potiphar's house he was being blessed, but yet he was accused of doing something he didn't do. He was thrown in prison. God blessed him in prison. He spoke to some people, spoke into their life prophetically, and they forgot him. Then several years later, the guys remembered, he came out, and God, this time for the appointed weeks of harvest for him. He had 728 weeks of harvest. 7 years a famine, 7 years of plenty, 728 weeks of harvest. God said that
now told Israel, now that you fear the Lord, the one who brings the former and the latter rain, for he has appointed weeks of harvest. He brought the former and the latter rain. Joseph had a double portion with 7 weeks of famine, or 7 years of famine, 7 years of plenty. It was a double portion. You just think maybe he had 7 years of during the famine was his time of his harvest. No, his harvest started 7 years before that. It was a double portion. It was a former and the latter rain together. And so as we move in this thing, somebody can tell what you call, we're ready, Nancy. But when we move in this new year, remember that God has promised us weeks of harvest. And I believe these weeks of harvest are going to be double portion. It's going to be the former and the latter rains together. God says that he promised us that he reserved for us weeks of harvest. If they're reserved for us, it's a reservation. Amen? We just got to know when we check in. Amen? You know, I had a reservation for a hotel, you know, about 6 months before we did, going on vacation. It was there, amen, in 6 months. It was time to check in, amen. If I didn't check in, I wouldn't have my harvest. So it's time that we begin to seek the face of God, amen, to know our seasons. Anybody have any questions?